quite as fast as they used to, but they hit the floor. Amen. I'm thankful for that. God is gracious, isn't He? So good. Amen. How many enjoyed not vacation Bible school, homecoming? Wasn't homecoming good this year? Praise God. Amen. A wonderful time. But I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful that God has given us a desire to meet in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. To pray one for another, to sing praise and worship unto the Lord, and to hear the Word. Amen. The Word is what the meat of the matter, and we certainly need the Word. Because after the shout is gone, after the emotion is gone, how many knows the Word is still there? And if we stand on the solid Word of God, amen, we will not be shaken. I believe that with all of my heart. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. John tonight, chapter number 4. Very intrigued with reading about the exploits of Jesus. Brother Thomas was singing a song, I think they've done it in maybe a time or two, the red letters. How many have a Bible that has red letters in it? How many knows what those red letters are? Those are actual words of Christ, amen, and they're so precious. And sometimes when I just kind of really need to be uplifted or need to just hear from the Lord, I'll just open up and start reading the red letters. And that's like Jesus just speaking again to us. And I thank God for that ability to hear, and not only to hear, but to read the precious word of the Lord. So reading from the book of St. John in chapter number 4, let's begin with verse number 43. St. John chapter number 4, verse number 43. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then he required he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto them, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love and thank you, God, for your blessings, for your anointing, for your presence that we feel here tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would just feed us that heavenly manna tonight. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, to use this vessel and oracle tonight. God, to speak to our hearts, speak to our spirit, that we may be submissive to your word. God, I pray that we'll be obedient to your will as well. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for touching in those prayer requests that we made earlier. By faith, we're holding on and believing, God, that you're going to intercede on behalf of those who stand in need of prayer. Father, I pray right now, God, for every ear here tonight, God, that the word will go into our ear and into our heart, and we'll receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise, if you would. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. We can praise the Lord with a house, with just a few, as good as we can with a house full, can't we? Amen. I want to take a time tonight to preach this message entitled, Go Thy Way. Go Thy Way. Now, probably this is not the first time that you've heard or read this particular passage of Scripture in this account of the nobleman or this person who actually was part of the royal guard, if you would, and heard that Jesus was coming into the neighborhood, and he went to receive of Jesus. But Jesus tells him something here. He says, Go thy way. And translated, basically, that means go in peace. Now, when Jesus tells him to go that way, he's not just saying, go back to your regular job, go back to your business, and just don't worry about anything. But he said to go in peace. Go in peace. And this is really, really important because you got to understand. First of all, let's back up just a little bit and let's begin where Jesus has come back to Galilee, to Cana of Galilee, where he did, in fact, the Bible tells us that's where he performed the very first miracle when he turned the water into wine. Not only did he do that, but he touched many, many lives. And the Bible tells us in the second chapter of the book of John, the accounts of Jesus while he was there in Jerusalem, and he did many things and converted many souls, and many people believed on him. In fact, many Pharisees and Sadducees were moved by the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus, as well as the I guess you would call it, the middle class people too, because many, many Galileans had gone to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover and were there and perfectly able to see and witness what Jesus had done. And then when they found out that he was coming to their community, they were excited. And Bible history tells us they gladly received him. Now, that wasn't always the case with Jesus. You know, as Jesus began to minister, and later on in his time, after having performed many, many miracles, and there's no telling how many people's lives were changed, and people, they're not only their souls were fed, but their bellies were fed by his miracles. Eyes were opened up. Lame man began to walk. Deaf began to hear. The dumb began to speak. Amen. The lepers began to be healed, and many, many accounts of the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the latter end of Jesus, he was not as welcomed as he was when he was performing all the miracles. Amen. Because seemingly, and Jesus perceived that, because we understand here when Jesus' response to the nobleman, when the nobleman came. Now, first of all, the nobleman had traveled a little bit, because the Bible tells us that when Jesus spoke, the son was healed, but that was at, the 11th hour, the day before. So he had a pretty good ways to travel to reach Jesus. Amen. And he wanted Jesus to come to his house. In fact, that was his first request. If you'll just come to my house, because my son is ill. And Bible history tells us his son was actually at the point of death. And Jesus remarks to him, he says, basically, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. In other words, if you can't see these things that I've been performing, then you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe that I am the Son of God. You wouldn't believe that I am the Messiah. You would not believe that I am the Christ. But you see these other miracles, and because I turned the water into wine, and because I've done these other many things, you're here to now because you want me to heal your son, because you have seen the miracles. Rather, I'm just going to speak the word. How many times can we relate to that? No, wait a minute. Lord, you got to do more than speak the word. You got to come to my house. You got to come to where I am. You got to come into the hospital room. You got to come into my needs. You got to come into the place where I work. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I need you to come. I need you to put down whatever you're doing. And I know you're mighty busy because there's a lot of people calling on you at the same time. But Lord, you got to understand, I'm in dire need of somebody to heal my son. I need you to come exactly where I am now. But Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, you just go your way. Your son liveth. You go in peace. Don't worry about anything because your son lived it. And I began to think about that. I began to think, you know, Jesus, many, many times, he did go with someone when they came to call. But this particular time, I mean, knows Jesus doesn't do anything unless it's for a reason. Amen. These things are not coincidences, by the way, that Jesus does. It's not just by happenstance or no. But Jesus has a purpose, I believe, for everything that he does. So and when he translated this into, he said, basically, go in peace. And I thought about that. How many of us, after going to the Lord in prayer, and when we give him our need, or when we make our petition to him, or we make our request, and you know, I'd like to think that we as Christians want to believe. Amen. We try to believe. We try to be faithful. We try to accept what God has done or what God can do. And we know that God can do all things. And when we pray, we want to believe. We want to accept the fact. But many, many times I wonder if we really get up from that prayer in a state of peace, in a state of contentment. In a state of, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I've asked God to do it. I'm placing my faith in him. And I'm just going to go on my way. Amen. And I'm going to believe that it's going to be done. Now, he could have constrained Jesus. He said, no, you don't understand. You got to come. You got to come. Because even now, my son may be dying. In fact, when I get back home, he may be already dead. I don't know. I just know that I have faith to believe that you can speak the word or you can heal my son, but you need to come to my house. But Jesus did not do that. He said, no. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child died. In other words, and I can relate to this, because sometimes when we pray and we don't seem to get the answer that we want, we kind of specify it again in terms that we think Jesus needs to hear. Lord, you just don't understand how bad the situation is. Yes, he does. Lord, you just don't know the time limits that I'm dealing with. Yes, he does. Lord, you just don't know. I don't have any other alternative. Lord, you're my last hope. You're my best chance. God, you got to do this. He understands and knows. But he says, well, you know, basically, here's what he says. You got to come down, lest my child dies. And Jesus said, go away. How many of us would have been offended by that? It almost sounds like Jesus says, no, I'm not, you know, not really overly concerned. But he spoke the word, because he said, go thy way. And then there is one of those semicolons. And that's where sometimes we don't get past the semicolon. Come on, man. All we hear is go thy way. Many, many times, even in reading that, we read that and say, Lord, it wouldn't have took that much time out of your schedule to go down and pray for that son. But that semicolon, and that semicolon, and that one dot, little dot with a curl on it. Anyway, he says, thy son liveth. Thy son liveth. Come on. I've answered your prayer. It's done. You don't need these signs. You don't need these wonders. All I got to do is speak the word. I love the song that Sister Jennifer and them sang. Speak the word, Lord. Just speak the word, and I'll call it done in the name of the Lord. Amen. I won't worry about it anymore. I'll go my way, meaning I'll go in peace. I'll go in contentment. I'll go with a testimony on my lips. Amen. And a praise in my heart. For Lord, I know that I turned it over to you. I've released it to you. My son liveth, Lord. That's all I needed to hear. If you'll just tell me, Lord, you've heard my prayer. If you'll just say, thy son liveth, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. Go in peace. Amen. What you have requested, amen, it is done by faith. Then I begin to think, that long walk home, how many times has Satan tried to get your victory by the time you leave the church house until you get home? I've heard folks' testimony, and I've heard folks, basically what they do, amen, and they go ahead and speak negative things in their mind. And let me tell you something, Satan picks up on that. Especially when we say, well, I don't know if God can do that. Listen, he can. Amen. God can. He can do anything. But when Satan kind of speaks to our heart or into our mind, says, I don't know. I don't know if God can really do that. Or I've even heard saints of God, man, we had a wonderful service. God just blessed us mightily. I mean, folks were slain in the spirit. Folks were worshiping and praising God. I just know the devil's going to be on my case Monday morning. Why would we speak that? Why would we give the devil ammunition? Why would we tell him where our doubt lies? Amen. Why can't we just accept the fact that whatever I face on Monday morning, I'm not going to face it alone. Whatever comes my way, I've got somebody in me that's greater than any obstacle, greater than any problem, greater than any situation I could ever face. In other words, I'm not going to worry about Monday morning. I'm going to go in peace. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to go with my hands lifted up, my heart praising and worshiping God, a song on my lips. Amen. God can do anything. God is a great God and greatly to be praised. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And here is the key. And the man believed the word. Glory to God. If you want to receive revival, believe the word. If you want to see miracles wrought in this day, believe the word. Amen. If you want to see your loved ones saved, believe the word. Go in peace. Go and praise God. Worship him. Amen. Worship him like you don't have a care in the world. Believe him for what you've asked for. Don't doubt it. Put it in the hands of God. I don't have to see lightning bolts come down from heaven. I don't have to feel the earth shake. I don't have to feel somebody tapping me on the shoulder. If God says go in peace, I'm going to go in peace, and I'm going to declare it done. I'm going to praise him, and the first chance I get, I'm going to stand up and testify. Thank you, God, for answering prayer. Thank you, God, for doing that miracle. Because that's what I believe we need to do, is go in peace. Amen. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He went his way. And now he's on the road home. And I just imagine, like I said earlier, that the old adversary tried to play tricks with him. Jesus don't care anything about you. If he really loved you, he would go to your house. Jesus hadn't got time for you. Church don't care about you. Church don't have time for you. If they did, they would have come to your house and prayed. Come on, they would have been there for you. Amen. You know, so many times Satan tries to come and sap our victory, tries to get us down. If you're doing that, you're not going in peace. And I would almost imagine, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but in my mind, I'm imagining that probably this nobleman, as he was traveling home, had opportunity to maybe let doubt creep in. Folks, doubt can creep in unawares. Amen. You know, he could have left and full of the Spirit. He could have left the audience of Jesus, and he could have said, you know, I know my son's going to live. But on that long walk home, amen, it wasn't just down the street, because the Bible tells us here. He said, and they said unto him, you know, when was it done? He said, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So we know that the nobleman still had a long walk home. Amen. And during that long walk, as he's trying to walk in peace, I want you to understand, sometimes, amen, when we already have accepted what God has done, we've already believed it and called it and claimed it, amen, but sometimes then we got to walk home, and when we first take two or three steps, we're taking those steps in peace, amen, but the road to home gets really, really long, and every step we take, the Satan, the adversary comes on our back and say, it's really not done. Are you sure? I don't believe that it's really done. And if we're not careful, that doubt can creep into our lives. And then we're not going in peace. We're going in stressful situations. We're going in actually doubting the power of God, or doubting what God has done in our life. I'm believing for a miracle. I'm claiming a miracle. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I'll tell you how easily Satan can play with your mind, and how easily Satan can cause doubt to come into your heart and into your mind. Several weeks ago, I requested prayer for Ray Seals, a relative actually of Susan's, and someone that we knew a long, long time ago. And unfortunately, he was called into service in the Vietnam War. And it's really, really terrible, because many of our veterans from that particular war have concocted a type of cancer from the Agent Orange. I don't know if you've ever heard anything about that, but some of the things that they were using during that time to kill the vegetation, where the enemy would build or dig these caves and crevices and go in, and it was hard for them to detect where they were. So they got this Agent Orange that would kill the vegetation. But now, years later, they're finding out it was detrimental to the lungs and to the body of many of our servicemen and women, and many people even in our neighborhood and in that age have already passed away. In fact, Brother James Jones, a wonderful man of God that was here in front of our men's gathering, passed away, and that was what he was diagnosed with. Well, Ray is lying there now. He was in the hospital, but he has gone home. I received a call about 2 weeks ago from a friend of his and someone that I graduated school with, and they said a sister-in-law had went by the house and told them that, and read a scripture them. It says, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray the prayer of faith, anointing them with oil. And it began to set in motions, because evidently this household had not known anything about that. So he called me and said, would you contact them? And I said, sure, I'll call them. I'll come. So I called and got the wife, and it just wasn't a good time. He was having a bad day, and so she just kind of a little doubtful on the phone whether she wanted me to do that or not. And I certainly said, I understand. We'll be praying here, but here's my number. If you need me, please let me know, and I'll be glad to come out and anoint him. And so I didn't hear back from her. So
I called again the next week, just kind of reminder, and I said, I'm not trying to be pushy and all, but I know you're really, really busy, and I know it's bad timing and all, but I just wanted to let you know that if you still want me, I'll be glad to come out, and we will anoint with oil and pray. I said, if not, that I perfectly understand, but we'll be praying here. So she said, okay, well, I'll let you know. So another week passed by, so we got a phone call this past Saturday morning. She called me. And she said, if you still want to come, then I'd like for you to come. And she said, I talked to Ray, and Ray said, yeah, tell him to come. And that was, you know, that was Saturday. We were getting ready for homecoming. I said, well, will it be all right if I come the first of the week? She said, oh, yeah, didn't mean this weekend. And so it was Monday. So Monday came around, and I've been praying. And then, oh, Satan, he just kind of jumped on me, and he said, what if you go out there and anoint him, and they're expecting this and that and the other, and then Ray dies? And see, I know in my mind, I know the seriousness of this sickness. I know that he is under hospice care, which pretty much means that the doctors have declared that terminal. And that's how I was facing this, and I was saying, Lord, you know, these are not church folks. They're looking at the wrong thing, I believe. So I called him back, and I tried to tell her. I said, now I'm going to anoint with oil, but I want you to understand, there is nothing healing in that oil. I could pour a gallon of oil on you, and it wouldn't do any good unless we did it in faith. It is the faith that we pray about. And she said, well, I didn't know if y'all did that or not. I said, ma'am, I grew up in a church where they had a bottle of oil on the pulpit. I mean, anybody that got sick, they got oiled. And they also got prayed for. I said, I've seen it work. I know it works. It's not the oil. It's the obedience of God's word and doing it according to what the Bible says, and not discounting the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is what does it. So I just asked Penny, I said, you want to ride with me? And she said, yeah. Well, we found out they live on the other side of Graham, Alabama. We drove down dirt roads and pig trails till we finally found them. And when I went in there, and I told them again, I said, now I've got this little bottle of oil. It's nothing but extra virgin olive oil. I said, but, you know, Jesus did it. The Apostle Paul did it. The disciples did it. They anointed with oil and prayed the prayer of faith. And I spoke to Ray, and I explained, and he was so weak. He could not even hold his head up off of the pillow. He reached out a very bony hand and took my hand as we prayed, and I told him what we were doing. I told him about the oil, but it was the prayer of faith, and I said, I need you to believe with me. But can I tell you, the trip from our house till I got to that front door was kind of like that long walk, because it was hard for me to really go in peace, because the devil kept saying, what if it doesn't happen? What if he dies? What if this happens? What if he dies before you even get out there? And I had to really, really, really pray and just push that doubt out of the way, because I knew if I went in that house with a little bit of doubt, man, that nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. Amen. I know God is able, and we all know God is able, but he needs our faith to work. So when I got to the front door, and she came, but can I tell you, when I walked inside that door, I felt different. I felt now, you know, Satan, you're a liar. You're a liar. God's going to touch him. God's going to bless this house. I felt such a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost when I walked into that room, and I told him about the oil, and then I anointed his forehead, and we prayed, and I prayed, and you know, we talked a little bit, and then I started to leave, and he kept holding my hand. He's holding my hand like he just didn't want me to leave, and so I stayed a little longer, and I talked to him, And she said, Penny was out actually sitting in the car because we had the grandkids with us. And she said something about knowing my wife from insurance. And I said, yeah, she's in the car. She said, well, tell her to come in. And she asked Ray, she said, "You want to see Penny?" He said, "Yeah, tell her to come in." So Penny came in, and we talked a little while, and then Penny started to leave, and he was still holding my hand. And I'm so glad that he didn't let go of my hand, because the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, said, "Pray for his soul. Pray for his soul." Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we get so hung up on seeing signs and wonders and wanting to see God. And God can. He can even raise the dead. But I really believe, and finding out after I talked to the person that I went to school with, he said, to his knowledge, Ray did not have any church functions or church association whatsoever. And as far as he knew, he had never made a profession of faith and never even let on like he wanted to be saved or anything. So I felt that hand as he held my hand, and I looked at him, and those eyes, they were tearing up. And I began to tell him, I said, "Now, I believe that God can heal your body. And I believe that we have prayed the prayer of faith. But Ray, I got to tell you, I also know that God can heal our souls." And I said, I don't know if you've ever been born again. I don't know if you've professed salvation or not. I don't know if you've ever asked Jesus into your heart. I said, but Ray, right now is the time to do that. And those tears began to roll down his cheek. He could not even raise his hand up. He had to hold on to my hand. And I said, I want to pray for your soul right now. I want to pray that you'll invite Jesus Christ to come into your life right now. Because never, never is it too late, as long as we have the breath of life. And he held onto my hand and squeezed, and we began to pray. And I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, now is the time, God, to fill my brother, God, to come into his life, Lord, to save him, Lord. I pray, God, that his sins be washed away." And we began to pray that prayer. And he began, after I finished, he began to mumble some words, and then he said, "Amen. Amen." And he thanked me over and over and over again. It would have been very easy to say, "You know what? I just can't make it today. That's a long way to drive. Maybe next time, maybe another time." But I do believe that that Monday was the time for us to go out there. I believe that it was designated by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe if I'd have went those first couple of times, I don't think the Spirit of God would have been leading me like I need, because I needed to get myself right before I went and began to pray for him. Because I thought about that. You know, the most important thing, and I want you to understand, the most important thing of that visit was not whether he was healed and able to get out of that bed, but whether or not he was able to meet eternity. Amen? And that, I played on that, and I began to thank God. I said, "God, Lord, I'm so glad that you prick our hearts. I'm so glad that you lead us and guide us and direct us." Because I was out here thinking about signs and wonders and wanting him to get up and can be completely healed, and he still can. I believe faith. But the most important thing, I believe that day, I believe he had a life-changing experience. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. Man. Because when we're right in here, even though this body passes away, how many knows we got a brand new body waiting for us in glory? One that won't hurt anymore. Amen. One that'll never die anymore. Praise God. But Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Thought about some of these same Galileans that openly welcomed him. The Bible tells us, Bible history says, they openly welcomed him into their homes and into their houses. They fed him. They took care of him. It was almost like he was some kind of royalty, which he really was, being the Son of God, amen, the Savior of the world. But they wanted him. Why? Because of something they could receive from him. Something that could bless them, something that could heal them and touch them. And they wanted to see signs and wonders. And evidently Jesus thought, you know what? There's something more important than signs and wonders. There's something really more important than the healing of the body. And that's the saving of the soul. And you know what? So many times what is overlooked in this particular story. Oh, we shout and praise God because when he got home, his son was alive. Wouldn't you shout too? Amen. Wouldn't you praise God? Wouldn't you glorify God? And then to top it all off, the servant, he asked, when did this happen? He said, it's the seventh hour. Yes. And he said, and the nobleman said, you know what? That's the exact time that Jesus said, thy son liveth. Amen. Glory to God. How many knows that Jesus doesn't have to go to your house? Amen. All he got to do is speak the word. Amen. And we'll believe it. But I want you to pay close attention. After the wonderful, miraculous healing of the son who was at the point of death and is now alive, I want you to know in verse number 53, so the father knew it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him. You know, when Jesus does something for us, then we know. Amen? We know it's not luck, it's not circumstance, it's not coincidence. We know that the power of the Lord has done a miracle. And he believed that. And then he said, thy son liveth. And this is the important part that I think we so many times overlook. Himself believed and his whole house. Yes, what a miracle. Yes, the son was almost dead, but now he's living. But the whole family, amen, began to be believers. Praise God. God works in mysterious ways, folks. We don't always understand and know where God is leading us. But many, many times, if we'll just be obedient, if we'll just be submissive, God will get the honor and the glory. Can I tell you, when you've prayed your prayer, when you believe that you've given your petition unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, go in peace. Amen. Thy son liveth. Go in peace. Your prayer has been answered. Go in peace. I'm going to heal your body. Amen. You know what I like? I like folks that claim victory ever before the effect of it. Come on. I like those that say, he's already healed my headache and it's still hurting. Glory to God. That's faith. Because they know that they've prayed the prayer of faith and they know that God's going to do it and they claim it. Just like the prophet said, go again and look. What do you say? Nothing. Go again. The seventh time he went, he looked. He said, what do you see? Oh, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He didn't keep praying. He said, Lord, let the rain hit me on the head and I'll believe you. He said, get down. It's going to come abundance of rain. Glory to God. And while he was running, amen, the heavens opened up. Glory to God. When you begin to run in peace, when you begin to get up out of the altar and you claim what Jesus Christ has done for you, those spiritual blessings will begin to rain down from heaven. Glory to God. He'll bless you going out. He'll bless you coming in. He'll bless those around you. My. We can't even imagine the blessings that God will bestow on us if we become believers. Quit necessarily looking for signs and wonders and just believe his word. Amen. And his word is right here. Do we believe it? When we read it, do we not only agree with it, but do we place it in our heart and believe what the word says? We got to believe the word of the Lord. Amen. If we believe the word of the Lord, we'll see the miracles. We'll see souls saved. Amen. We'll see folks coming in, glory to God, giving their life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Go thy way. Go in peace. Amen. When you've prayed, amen, get up. Don't worry about it anymore. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Can you love him tonight? Give him praise. Glory to God. We love you so very much. Bless you. Go with you. Would you stand tonight? Amen. Anyone has a need of prayer, understand that this altar is open. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, is there one that would come forward tonight? Any reason whatsoever? If not, if you have a prayer request, just lift your hand so this pastor will know, and I'll be praying with you. And we'll agree in the name of Jesus, amen, that God will work miracles. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you. We love you.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. Just praise his holy name. Amen. Amen.
Praise.
Go thy way. Powerful, powerful message tonight. You know, God knows, and I've said this many times, and I know